Wait, what? A beautiful girl like you shouldn't be alone at a bar like this, he added. You make it sound like a bad thing when you put it that way. A Touch on the Box Tales is an Audible series to entertain you through tales and the box tales. This is Priscilla, your host. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining the community. I appreciate you a lot. Happy New Year to you all. I hope it's not too late to wish you. Here is to hoping that the new year brings us lots of new, amazing, and exciting opportunities in our lives. This year will surely be our year by God's grace. Remember that no matter what the year brings, you are loved and you are strong. Where is the champagne? Pop, fizz, clink. Let's toast to the future and let's make this year a good one. Kaja. So let me share some 91 verse 7 and 8 with you. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be as you witness the reward of the wicked. Today we continue with Alpheus Anaya, A Dark Voyage, chapters 4 and 5. If you've not yet listened to chapters 2 and 3, you should definitely go back to episode 6 and have a listen. Without further ado, let's get right into this. Chapter 4, 1996. The Past. The year was 1996, and the location was the Wild Street Alley House, a quite popular bar in Abikiali. Abikiali was one of the major cities of the Nome State, the country Kolunto's largest state. Abikiali had the country's biggest university, the Kolunto University of Science and Technology, and so that made it the epicenter of all things youthful and fun. Talk about the popular bars, the biggest hotels, the theaters, etc. Almost every business flourished in the city, all thanks to the university. On that evening, the Wild Street Alley House bar was filled with hundreds of conversations, which were shared in loud voices, all battling with Angelique Kidjo's Wombolombo that filled the atmosphere. Wombolombo was one of the greatest Afropop hits in 1996, so Olamide wasn't surprised it was still played at every bar, club, or party. The shouts from the crowd on the dance floor when the song began playing sealed everything off. The song was still loved. The crowd was young. The majority of them were university students, full of life and full of youthful exuberance. A few of them were adults, mostly male, who were either there to feast on the young university ladies or to simply run away from their responsibilities in the house and drown themselves in alcohol. He fought his way through the warm, mostly sweating, but is to order a bottle of Club Premium Lager at the counter. That was when he saw her, the most beautiful creature he had ever seen. For a second, he thought he had seen a goddess. Her rich, dark skin, like an onyx, was completely flawless. She had black hair of wool, and her head held high. A second look at her, then he realized how wrong he was to compare just her skin tone to the onyx stone. Her personality was an epitome of what the stone stood for: to dispel negative energy, and promote emotional well-being. He felt whole just looking at her. Her beauty was exceptional. If the girls were real, he thought to himself, then this girl was their masterpiece. She could have graced any billboard or any magazine cover, but she was better than those two-dimensional models on any of the fashion magazines one could think of. She was dressed in a pair of black high-waisted jeans and a white crop top that made her boobs stand out. They were nothing like any of the boobs he had stolen a glance at before. He smiled as he got closer to the counter. He took a seat right beside her and asked for his drink. As the bartender got his order together, he turned to her and made his first move. Let me guess, he stood you up, he said the second he turned. She smiled, although a little shocked, as she tried to take a good look at whoever made that comment and also find out if it was directed at her. It was. I am actually here alone, she replied. He met her gaze with a smile of one who knows the upper hand was his. This was actually the time he finally got to use all those wooing tactics he has learnt from his friends who were on top of the game. Wait, what? A beautiful girl like you shouldn't be alone at a bar like this, he added. You make it sound like a bad thing when you put it that way. I actually decided to come here alone. Don't make it sound sad. She folded one leg over the other and took a sip of the beer in front of her. All right, if you say so, but I hope you don't mind if I keep you company. I happen to be here alone as well, he asked, praying she wouldn't say no. I don't mind. It's not like I can ask you to leave the bar. It is a free world. They both laughed. I am Olamide, by the way. Nia, call me Nia. And just like that, the spark between these two young souls ignited. They talked about everything and anything that night, and they soon realized they had a lot in common. They both loved almost the same things and hated almost the same things. They both loved poetry, mostly negritude poetry and a few of Shakespeare's. They both loved art and believed the Indebele House painting was one of the greatest forms of art in the world. To top it all, they both loved dancing, and so when the song playing in the bar changed to the 1963 hit Malaika by Fadley Williams, they both knew it was time they hit the dance floor together. The song Malaika was one of the greatest songs to have ever been recorded by a Kenyan artist. Malaika is a Swahili word for angel, which was commonly used to refer to a beautiful lady. When Olamide heard the song, it was like the very chords of the song have been injected into his bloodstream. The loud tune from the speakers tingled him and made him start moving his body. He got down from the seat, held her hand, and said, "Can I have this dance, Malaika?" Nia smiled and followed him to the dance floor. Nia's movements poured with a stunning precision that took every person on the dance floor's breath away. They could literally see her soul becoming one with the music, and her dance moves released her emotions. Olamide went with the flow, and seconds later, everyone else had stopped dancing just to stare at the duo creating life on the dance floor. That night was just one of the best memories they shared together. Memories they both loved reminiscing and would give everything to relive them. One of these memories was their first night together as a couple. It was 2 years after they first met. The year was 1998, and they'd both graduated from the university and found themselves in the jobs of their choice. Nia worked as the editor for the local newspaper, Abikiali Daily. Olamide was also a junior accountant at the very university they both graduated, Kolunto University of Science and Technology. They were both young and were now starting the actual journey of life, so these jobs were enough for them. To be fair, most people of their age would never get employed at such places just a year after graduation. When the idea of marriage came to their minds, both their families agreed to it because they were young and almost successful. It gave the families the hope they would be fine after marriage. Besides, if that was the only way to get them not to commit any sin, they were all in favor of the marriage, so they got married. Back to their first night together. The night after their marriage, in the dim-lit room, their fingers caressed each other's skin, as if afraid a heavier touch would break each other. They touched each other with care. They became one. One mind with one goal and purpose. Each completely drunk with love for the other. Their lips fitted perfectly as if they were meant for each other. Moving against each other, feeling each other. Olamide grabbed the back of Nia's neck, kissing her as she whimpered in pleasure. At that moment, their lives became the words from the quill of a poet, the paint on the canvas of an artist, and the melody of the song the songstress sings. Just by drenching each other in love, another memory was made. Then came the afternoon Nia found out she was pregnant. She was at work that afternoon when the doctor called her. She had had a test earlier that week when she suspected she was pregnant. She didn't tell Olamide about it, of course, before taking the test. But when the results came with the good news, she called him while still screaming in excitement. Just as she expected, he was also very excited about the news that Nia could hear him cry on the other side of the phone. At that point, they felt anything else couldn't be better for them. They spent the night at a fancy restaurant Olamide had reserved just for them. They celebrated the good news with wine and food, with Angelique Kidjo's version of Malaika playing subtly in the background. It was solemn and perfect for the moment. Chapter 5, At Crossroads, The Past, 9 months later, 19th December 1998. Happy birthday, Mama said gleefully as she walked into Anaya's room. Her expression changed almost immediately when she looked at her daughter. Anaya lay still, unmoving, her skin radiating heat like a brick right out of the oven. There were droplets of sweat all over her body and her breathing was unsteady. Anay, baby, are you okay? I can't breathe, Mama, she managed to say, her voice frail. Mama ran out to the kitchen to fetch a damp towel to reduce the heat before taking her daughter to the hospital. She ran past her husband, who was dead asleep on the couch. He had arrived home very late and drunk the night before. He didn't bother going to the bedroom when he arrived home. There was no way he was going to deal with more of Mama's nagging and complaints about how useless he was around the house and how he had made alcohol his own devil. He was safe on the couch, and so he sought refuge there. The television he had switched on before he passed out was still on. The early morning news was being broadcasted. Mama just looked at him, shook her head, and walked past him. There were more pressing issues she could focus her attention on that morning. Her daughter was burning like hell very early in the morning. In our top stories, the USA President Bill Clinton is impeached by the United States House of Representatives, becoming the second president of the United States to be impeached. More on that later. The voice from the television faded behind Mama as she made her way back to Anaya's room with a wet towel. The hospital had been built long ago, like the city that surrounded it. And as Mama expected, its interior was also dated. Everything was a subdued color. No bright pastel shades, only washed out shades of white. From the exhausted looking floor to the dented walls, it was depression served cold. How was anyone supposed to get well in a hospital like this? The corridor was crowded, but what would you expect from a public hospital in a place like Abikiali? The air had an undertone of bleach, one that gave a scent to the sickness. Mama made her way to the waiting area, directed there by the receptionist at the entrance of the hospital. Anaya was being carried on her back, still looking weak. Right behind them, a team of paramedics bolted through the double doors. The stretcher's wheels and the sound of rapid footsteps could be heard. A pregnant woman lay on the stretcher, groaning and crying out in pain. She seemed to be in labor. A man who looked like the husband followed them, holding the hands of the woman and trying to help her through the pain. Mama walked first to the other side of the corridor when she saw the stretcher would be passing where she had stood earlier. "I'm sorry, sir, you cannot follow them." One nurse stopped the man, Olamide, at the door of the room that had maternity ward, boldly written in front of it. "But why?" was all Olamide could spit out. His mind was filled with a series of horrible outcomes of his wife's labor, each worse than the last. Was Nia going to be okay? Was she going to survive with their daughter? How unbearable the pain might be for her. "You have to wait here like everyone else in the waiting room," the nurse said, her tone educated but abrupt, gesturing to the area she spoke of. Face stern, she watched as he sat on one of the hard plastic seats, dejected. Olamide sat down and sighed. He began biting his nails. He was restless and hoped Nia would be fine. He tried to stop himself from feeling how he was feeling, but nothing seemed to work. "She will be fine," a voice said from behind him. He turned and was met with the radiant smile of Mama. How she managed to get that smile on her face when her daughter was clearly not feeling well was breathtaking. "Yes, she'll be. This is how it usually is. We've all been there. Stop worrying and get ready to welcome your newborn," she continued when Olamide said nothing. "Thank you very much, Mom. I just hope she will be," Olamide finally said, relief transforming his face. "Diara Zuri," the stern-looking nurse from before called out at the waiting room. "Oh, that's me. See you around, sir," Mama told Olamide as she made her way out of her seat, Anaya on her lap. "Diara Zuri, yes, nurse," Mama cut in. "You can see the doctor now," the nurse directed. Back in the maternity ward, Nia wasn't doing so well. She had been in there for hours, but she was having problems pushing the baby out and losing a lot of blood in the process. Each effort made her weaker and the pain was unbearable. Biting the pain was not an option, as agonizing cramps seemed to crush her insides from within. Cold shivers shot through her body and both her hands and legs trembled. "You can do this," the midwife beside Nia's bed whispered with a soft voice as she cleaned the sweat from her face. Nia's head felt heavier and heavier as every wave of throbbing pain hammered her senses again and again. She screamed as if her guts were being ripped out with a blunt instrument against her will. After a few more pushes, she felt the baby coming through the hot stretching of flesh and held her breath. The midwives saw it too. "It is coming, I can see the head. Great work, Nia, keep pushing." Without further effort, the baby fell into the midwife's hands. There was exhilaration, at last, a child, and there was in seconds, opening nascent eyes. Rooting mouth for milk, but Nia was only fit to give up the ghost. She inhaled a trembling breath as she watched her baby girl being cleaned. She smiled, sweat accumulating on her skin, icy cold. She turned her head and didn't move. She was gone. The midwife found out when she returned with the baby for Nia to see her. Olamide stood up immediately he saw the midwife walk out of the ward towards him. He had been waiting for hours and had had nothing to eat. He looked exhausted, like he was in labor with his wife. "Where is she? Has she given birth yet?" he asked, worry overtaking him. The midwife sighed and took longer than expected to begin talking. Olamide might have caught onto something, but he didn't want to jump to any conclusions. "I am sorry, sir, but we lost her, your wife. We did all we could, but it was just a baby we could save," she said finally. A surge of pain washed over him. His mind began screaming out as the agony shot across his body. Every thought he had got lost as the burning pain stroked his heart like a blazing hot fire. His eyes turned to the floor and shimmered with tears. They fell from his eyes when he blinked and rolled down his face. He tightly bit his lip in an effort to hide any sound that might escape his mouth. He didn't want to be seen crying. The society saw a man who cried as weak and questioned his manliness. "Real men don't cry," was what any man who did it was told. Men are expected to hide their emotions and refrain from expressing them, even when something or someone hurt them. To be a real man is to possess and exhibit strength, psychologically, physically, and emotionally. There should be no manifestation of any sort of vulnerability or frailty. Even if it meant suppressing the emotions inside, a man must not break, regardless of how much they are bent. As if being reminded of these words, Olamide cleared the droplets of tears from his face and looked at the midwife. There he was, the royal African man. His next words were, "Where's my daughter?" Due to her difficult birth, and because the mother has passed away, she's being kept at the neonatal intensive care unit. "Would you like to see her?" He nodded, and they made their way to the NICU. A young girl, about 2 years old, stood in front of the glass-like wall staring at the babies in the room, with a satisfactory smile on her face. Olamide and the nurse walked over to the window, ignoring Anaya's presence. The nurse pointed at the baby Nia, who was in a crib, asleep. He stood there and watched her in awe. It was as if he was using an x-ray vision of some sort on her. He couldn't believe how tiny new humans are, how vulnerable, how awe-inspiring. Baby Nia's tiny toes peeked from the pink blanket that wrapped her body. Her head was topped by a crazy mass of black curls, and her eyes, although closed, were as tiny as mustard seeds. When she stretched, her hands barely rose above her head. Surprisingly, Olamide smiled as he watched her. His face had had this expression that exuded hope. It was almost as if he could see through the future and could see that Nia didn't just leave him with an empty hole, but gave baby Nia to fill the hole she left. By just looking at their daughter, he knew they would be fine. The blissful and longed-for moment he was having with his daughter was interrupted by a voice from behind him. He turned and saw the woman from earlier. She looked like she had run a marathon, and she seemed to be scolding the young girl they'd met earlier at the NICU. He hadn't paid attention to the girl earlier, but now that he saw her with the woman, he realized she was the sick daughter the woman had brought to the hospital. "Anaya, how could you leave the room like that? Do you know how worried you've made me? God help me, I could slap you right now," Mama fumed. "Take it easy on her," Olamide remarked. "She seems like an adventurous girl," he added. "She definitely is, but sometimes it gets out of hand. How was she able to leave without your notice?" he asked. "She was supposed to wait while I went out to get her something to eat before her drugs. We've been here for hours now, and she hasn't taken in anything good." "Sorry, she made you panic. You found her now. Please, don't scold her anymore." "I wouldn't," Mama smiled. "Talking about kids, congratulations on your newborn. She shares the same birthday as my daughter."
"Oh, really?"
"Yes, today is her birthday as well. She turned 2 today, but unfortunately, she woke up sick," Mama explained. "Interesting coincidence. Olamide said, went down on his knees to talk to Anaya. "What's your name?"
"Anaya,"
the little girl mumbled rather coyly. Olamide and Mama both burst into laughter. "That's my daughter over there." He pointed at baby Nia as he stood up. "She's a beautiful one, isn't she?" Mama beamed. "She sure is beautiful," her mother. "Where is she anyway?" Mama asked, but got the hint of what might have happened when Olamide's expression closed up at the question. She caught on with the situation at hand and felt horrible for bringing it up.
"I am so sorry. I didn't know."
"It is all right. You had no bad intention."
"Sorry to interrupt, sir, but the doctor wants to see you."
The nurse who ushered him there earlier cut in.
"All right, I will be right there."
He responded and turned to Mama. "It was nice meeting you, Miss Diarazuri." Mama responded, ignoring the shock that appeared on Olamide's face when she changed the Mrs. to Miss. She knew the exact question in his mind, but there were better things to worry about.
"I am Olamide. I'll go ahead then."
With that, he walked out of the NICU, leaving Mama concerned. How would he manage to live without his wife and also raise a daughter? How heartbroken he must be. And now, on to our take-home idioms. As right as rain. To feel completely well or healthy after an illness or an accident. For instance, "Hey Maggie, I heard what happened to you. How are you feeling now?"
"I'm as right as rain. Thank you so much for asking."
Oddball. A weird or a strange person. Example, "Anthony is such an oddball and I always wonder why." So guys, you can use these idioms in place of healthy and weird, respectively. Oh, you've listened up to this point? Omo, I didn't know you enjoyed listening to my show this much. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I will leave Alpha's Instagram handle and his website into the description box of this episode. This is Priscilla, your host. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. If you use an Apple phone, I would appreciate it if you could rate the show on Apple Podcasts and leave a review too. You can share with your friends and on your social media platforms as well. You can also follow me on Instagram at itouch_on_theboxstills.